Nursing homes and assisted living facilities in the state of Wisconsin only need about 30 days to evict someone from their residence, but a new bill in the state legislature could change that. It's Thursday, October 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the price of housing is increasing in some areas along the Great Lakes. Danielle Kading will take a look into why. And less students are participating in high school football programs in Wisconsin. Corrine Hess will have that report. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
A bill making its way through the state legislature right now aims to give families more time when aging relatives face eviction from long-term care facilities. Joe Schultz has more on the proposal.
The legislation would require nursing homes and assisted living facilities to give residents a 90-day written notice if the facility stops participating in the state's Medicaid program. They currently only need to give a 30-day notice. Ann Mara's mother was evicted from an assisted living facility earlier this year when it stopped accepting Medicaid.
It was awful. You know, probably one of the worst things that happened in our lives.
State Senator Robert Coles is one of the lawmakers who introduced the bill.
I'm sorry, 30 days is not enough time to deal with this. Anybody that's been through it knows that this is not going to happen real quick.
Critics say the proposal doesn't address Medicaid reimbursement rates they say are the root cause of the problem. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Dane County judge will hear arguments in a case about a secret panel exploring the impeachment of the newest member of the state Supreme Court. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss asked the group of former state Supreme Court justices to advise him on the potential impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The Washington, D.C.-based group American Oversight sued, saying the panel should be subject to open meetings laws. Robert Shoemaker is an attorney for former Chief Justice Patence Rogensack. He argued during a motion hearing yesterday that Rogensack had a First Amendment right to speak privately with the other jurists.
Mrs. Rogensack, who's not a party to this action, has the right to call Justice Wilcox about anything in the future and say, "Hey, John, what do you think about this?"
The judge in the case ruled that Rogensack will not be compelled to testify. Others on the panel advised Voss against moving forward with impeachment. While congressional Republicans have not been able to unite behind a candidate to be the next Speaker of the House, Wisconsin's GOP delegation is sticking together. For the second day in a row, all six Wisconsin Republicans voted for Jim Jordan of Ohio. Julia Azari is a political science professor at Marquette University. She says despite differences within that delegation, all members can say that they were team players.
The other thing I think is probably in mind is this idea that, well, you know, I cast a vote for order. I cast a vote to move forward and not to be stuck in this leaderless gridlock.
Both Wisconsin Democrats voted for Hakeem Jeffries, their party's nominee for Speaker. It's unclear when another vote will happen to try and pick a new Speaker of the House. More than $1 billion in federal grants to clean up polluted hotspots on the Great Lakes have been tied to increased housing prices in those areas. Danielle Kading reports researchers say Sheboygan is one of the success stories.
The study by University of Michigan researchers examined 30 sites listed by the U.S. as the most polluted on the Great Lakes. Co-author Michael Moore says they found property values declined more than 15% after being dubbed severely contaminated, but he says the average grant from federal cleanup programs increased property values by about $27,000.
These grants programs and the remediation restoration projects are an economic success story in addition to the physical and biological success story.
Moore says cleanup has revitalized polluted sites, including Sheboygan's waterfront. A 2018 case study found federally funded removal of toxic sediments led to hundreds of new housing units there, representing $37 million of investment. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, for a lot of people, fall means football, especially in the state of Wisconsin. Right around this time of year, homecoming high school games are happening, but that's not exactly the case everywhere in Wisconsin. Coming up, Corrine Hess will take a look into what's going on and off the football field.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, participation in high school football in Wisconsin declined more sharply than in any other state over a 10-year period. This year, some high school football teams have had to forfeit games, and other schools are finding they no longer have enough players to even finish out their season. Corrine Hess reports on how schools are adapting to fewer kids playing football.
It's homecoming at Bigfoot High School in Walworth County, and the stands are packed with parents and students gathered to watch their team crush Monroe.
And now the starting lineup for your Bigfoot Williams Bay Sheepdogs.
Before the game, student Valak Channing says he's feeling confident about his school.
Well, we're going to catch a dub here. We're going to mercy rule these kids.
But this homecoming game is different. This year, the Friday night lights are shining down on the boys' varsity soccer team. Bigfoot's homecoming football game and the two games leading up to it were canceled. Bigfoot only has six seniors on its football team, and key players got hurt. District Administrator Doug Parker says, ideally, each class would have about 15 football players. But over the last several seasons, fewer kids are playing.
If we had JV kids that were eligible to play, we would. But we're not going to put a 5'1", 110-pound freshman on a varsity football field just to play a varsity game.
Bigfoot is not alone. Wisconsin saw a nearly 25% decrease in 11-player football from 2009 to 2019, according to the latest data available from the National Federation of State High School Associations. That's the largest decline in high school football participation in the country. The reason for the decrease in participation is hard to pinpoint. Experts say one factor could be anxiety about concussions. In some cases, boys may be choosing to play a different fall sport, such as soccer or volleyball. And some decline in participation may be because high schoolers prefer screens to sports. In Wisconsin, boys' soccer participation is up about 4% over the last decade, while boys' volleyball is up about 20%. But those fall sports still draw far fewer players than football. Most states have seen fall participation decline. A few, including Texas, have seen slight increases. Krista Niehoff heads the federation that tracked this data. She believes when new participation numbers are released, football will still be at the top of its game nationally.
Overall, interest in the sport of football is healthy. We're not sure about what's happening in Wisconsin.
Todd Clark with the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association says the biggest drop in football participation was between 2012 and 2016. That coincides with more media coverage of contact sports causing concussions. Since then, Clark says the number of football participants has flatlined. Clark says schools with strong football programs have tended to see less drop-off in participation.
It hasn't been a secret. Successful programs draw kids in because people like to win.
At Bigfoot, the soccer team was more than happy to take the homecoming spotlight for the evening. Looking out at the stands before the game, soccer star Hudson Torres says he had never seen so many fans.
I mean, football has always been a big sport. I mean, we won state in like 2009 for football. So, I mean, it's good to see a different change with soccer now. We're ranked 9th in the state, so I think people are starting to really like come and enjoy the games.
For the most part, parents and students didn't mind the change either. Nicole Raskin, who is a student council advisor and the parent of a senior, says making the switch to soccer was the best solution the school could come up with.
As a parent, we have heard only positive. Every single comment said, we hope our football players get healthy, and we're very excited to see the soccer team get this experience.
And even without the football game, Bigfoot High School was able to keep their homecoming traditions alive. They crowned the homecoming queen and king at halftime, and as predicted, the team won their game. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it for this Thursday. Man, I did not know that Wisconsin had the sharpest decline in high school football rates in a 10-year period of any other state in the nation. Really interesting stuff. Thanks to Corinne for bringing us that story. And thanks to you for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll always be right here in your podcast feed every single weekday morning. Thanks for staying informed with us, and have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.